Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 656. I am Chris. I'm not sure where Tony is. He'll be here. But Earl has returned.
Woo! The man of mystery. Thank you.
Traveling everywhere.
Well, between moving and traveling, it's been a very hectic fall. I was about to say spring. not that time of the year, but yes. Minneapolis was it's very nice. It's very quaint. I always find quaint is such a, but like, it was nice. It was, you know, I got up to some stuff. I mean, I will give my impressions as I always do when I travel of their barcade, which was nice for the most part. Mm-hmm. It was very roomy. Lots of pinball machines and stuff like that. They had their own unique coins, which are always just a mixed bag. But, yeah, and I actually ended up going to a board game bar as well, which I thought was absolutely lovely. I just love the fact that it was a board game bar that you didn't have to pay to exist in, which so many of them are, where it's like, oh, give us like $10 just to come in here and hang out and bring your own games or whatever. This one was like, you come, they had games. I mean, you know, you buy food and drinks and stuff like that, but you didn't have to pay them just to sit.
That's neat. So, we found Tony. He's here.
I have arrived.
Just in time.
Just in time for the fight in the Senate. Yeah.
Third one in the House. Well, I guess one in the House was in a fight. That was more of a shoving match.
An assault in the back. It wasn't even fair. He hit him in the back as he walked by.
And like kidney punched him.
He didn't do it according to him, and I would trust him. I mean, he would never lie to me.
He's honest. Very honest.
They all are.
They're good people fighting with the union and... Sorry, the Teamsters?
Yeah, Teamsters. And Jeff is here as well.
I am. Not gonna start any fights.
That's good, Jeff. We don't.
Because I'm an adult.
Well, we don't want you to start any fights. I mean, there is really a term called going postu. We know how you post when you get down.
They're gonna have to change it to something else. We've been good.
Going Congress.
Yeah. When was the last time somebody went postal? I mean, really, it never happens anymore.
Yeah, it got this whole thing, I guess, from like a series of violent things that happened in like the 80s over probably like a couple weeks or like a year or something, and that's just been a term ever since.
I mean, you've gotten your own it's like your own video game series, right? Like,
that's true.
Postal.
I kind of feel like from my experience with Jeff, going postal is like drinking too much and watching movies.
I mean, that is...
That is
probably more true to most postmen.
Most mailmen, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
It's
wild everywhere. My house is currently ravaged with half of the people here have COVID.
Oh.
So I am hovering in my basement.
Pretty sure we beat COVID like 2 years ago.
Oh,
that's what I was told.
So you're the only one that didn't get it?
So I didn't get it, my son didn't get it, and my youngest daughter didn't get it. My wife, my oldest daughter, and my middle daughter are all infected. They're all isolating upstairs, which makes it difficult since we have like one bathroom with a shower.
Oh no.
It was like you gotta get, like, when my middle daughter today was like, I have COVID now too. It was like,
I got COVID now
too. Y'all got it.
Like, that's great. And my wife was like, yeah, we're isolating in the bed. I'm like, you gotta get it. Like, both of you have to leave the bedroom, because to get to our our main bathroom with the shower. It's you have to go through my bedroom.
Oh, it's no.
Like, you guys have to isolate elsewhere because, like, the rest of us that aren't infected have to, like, take showers.
You just don't infected know you're infected yet. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we don't have any, like, they are sick. Like, they, it's not just, oh, we tested positive. Like, they're sick.
Did you all get the latest booster? Just out of curiosity.
Hell yeah. I have not gotten it yet.
I, like, just got mine. Couple days ago, 3-4 days ago. Mm-hmm. But it's funny though, the lady, like the pharmacist was like, you know, just so you know, it like takes like 2 weeks for it to like actually work. So she's like, if you get sick like in between then, it wasn't from the shot. I was like, don't worry, I'm good.
Right. Well, I mean, there's plenty of people that are like, you got me sick. You gave it to me.
I'm happy I got it now because now I got that. My flu shot should be all good to go.
Yeah, I got my, as soon as it was available, I got that in the flu shot like the last week of September or something like that.
Yep,
yeah,
me too.
As soon as like the new one's ready, I'm like, yep, here we go.
You know, I never used to get a flu shot. I was just like, eh, whatever. But it's like the last few times I've gotten sick, I've just been like, this really sucks ass. So I'm just like, I'm just going to get the flu shot every year. What the fuck?
Honestly, for me, it was because work started to do it. Like, work was like, yeah, we're going to come bring it to you. I'm like, okay, that works for me.
And I'm with Jeff. The biggest motivator for me was actually getting the flu one time, and it was the sickest I have ever been in my life. I never want to do that again, so I get it every time.
And then plus, this whole COVID thing, like, made it like, oh, yeah, you should, like, keep up to date on shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, it made me think about it more. So it's just like, I just take whatever you fucking give me to keep the diseases away. I'll be happy.
I'm always so fascinated when people are like, oh no, I don't want to get it. Like, yeah, you know what sucks more than that is like actually getting sick from it. Because yeah, the reason I get the COVID thing is I got COVID and I was out on my ass for like 2.5 weeks. I'm like, I don't want to go through that again.
No.
Take a shot, I'm like sick for a day. I got sick time. I'm good with that.
One time that I knew I caught it, I just felt kind of like weak or like achy. I don't even know how to describe it. It was like not that. It was like for like 2-3 days maybe, and then it went away. But this is well after I had been vaccinated multiple times. So did anyone catch it before?
Real bit.
Yeah, I got it. I got the OG version, as I tell people. I got it literally. I think. Oh yeah, I guess I've been out for 2.5 weeks. Like literally. I was talking to somebody recently. I was like, yeah, I remembered, like, I literally, like, I was like, oh, you know, I could say like, that was the time, like, the peak of COVID. I told work, and work's like, okay, like, the next 10 days, you are just, you know, like, the next 10 days, you're off. You don't do anything. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch movies and stuff. I couldn't watch a TV show. I had no energy. I would like get up in the morning and just like flip-flop from different sides of the bed just to kind of rotate myself. I think I sweated through like 6 pairs of sheets. Eventually like my mom was a nurse, so she had to get me like an IV just so I can get hydrated. Because like, yeah, I wasn't eating, wasn't retaining water, nothing. It was just like, it was not a good time. Again, one of the reasons why I'm very eager to always get the newest vaccine when they offer it is because I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I had a doctor's appointment earlier this month, and they offered me the flu shot, which I took, but they did not offer the COVID shot, so like I have to schedule that and go and, I guess, go to CVS because they don't
have it. Yeah, Like, that's weird to me, because that's how it is for me, too. Like, I don't... What, you're a fucking doctor. I'm at the fucking...
Just give me the... Give me all the shots.
I'm at the big, like, hospital place with the doctors and all that. Like, why do I have to go to CVS to get a fucking shot? Same here, man. I don't get it, though. Like, whatever. Okay. Luckily, CVS is, like... You know, now that it's been out a few weeks, like... They're just like, yeah, I didn't have to schedule it. I was just.
I mean, I feel like CVS also has the whole vaccine thing down. Like,
yeah,
you make your appointment, you show up, you get your shot, you leave. It's just easy.
Yeah, it's real simple. It's just, I just thought, I was like, all right, they're I'm gonna go to my doctor's appointment. They'll be able to hook me up with everything. And
yeah, that's what I thought too.
I've always figured it was because it's like, oh, because we have to do a 20,000 other things. Because it's like some hospitals now do this too, where like you don't like the hospital won't do like your blood work and stuff. You'll go to like I forget Quest Diagnostics. Or something.
Yeah, yeah, go to LabCorp.
Yeah. And it's like, I assume that's part of it. It's like, oh, okay, you know, like, we, like, instead of having you go to, like, you know, spending 3 hours here and, you know, like, doing everything, we'll do the big stuff and we'll send you elsewhere to do, like, okay, here's where you get your needles, here's where you get your blood work, here's where you get your vaccines. Because, like, CVS is set up for that because they, as far as I know, they do COVID, they do flu, I think sometimes they do shingles. And I want
to say they have like 4 or 5 that they do.
Yeah.
All the time.
It just feels weird to me going to a store to get it when, like, I feel like
when you have a medical professional that you visit.
Yeah.
Like I pay you to do my shit for me.
I also imagine it's probably because there's more of them. I mean, I don't know how true that is anymore.
I mean, I'm sure there are financial reasons, probably more than anything, why they do it that way. Like, it's easier to keep a whole lot of vaccines in one place. It's cheaper than
after you go to the doctor,
have like a nurse give the shot than it is your doctor. Like,
that's
a whole lot.
True. The COVID vaccine has to be kept very, very cold. And I wonder if that's, I don't know anything about the flu vaccine, but I wonder if it's just like, if you don't have the infrastructure for it, if you don't have like the nice freezer thing or whatever that CVS probably has, that you just can't keep your COVID vaccine cold enough, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so that's happening here. Prepare yourselves, gentlemen. My son is going to be a Navy nuclear engineer.
Wait.
He has joined the Navy and he has tested into their nuclear engineering program.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, kudos.
Congratulations to him. I hope he doesn't glow in the dark.
And it's should be terrifying to everybody. Evidently now, at least I am, maybe Jeff, I'm not sure Tony or Earl, if you guys have aged out, but if you want to get in, the Navy is offering a very, very hefty sign-on bonus.
Oh God.
Are any of us in the fucking age range?
You can sign up to 42 now.
Oh, so my birthday is tomorrow. I turned 41 tomorrow. I should get in now. I still got time.
You can enlist up to 42. Yeah. They offered him with his testing into the nuclear engineering program, $250,000 to sign.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That seems like a yes.
I was like, that is like 4 years worth of salary for me. I mean, and like he's gonna be spending the first 2 years of it in school, like in Navy nuclear school. So
put that money in the bank. That's like a house when he gets out, and like it's like,
yeah. Yeah, so like yeah, and he'll have no expenses for the time he's in there.
And this is the child who, when we started the podcast, you were like carrying around. I remember you going on like a turkey trot and carrying him the whole way.
Yep.
And now that's how long this podcast has been going. That child that Chris was carrying is now going to be a nuclear engineer.
Yeah, he was 3 years old when we started this podcast. It nightmarish, honestly. We're happy he tested into that, because otherwise his boot camp date would be December 7th, and my wife was very, very upset that he would be missing Christmas. Apparently he's quite smart, and he won't have to go until the new year. But I'm slightly terrified that they're going to let him work on anything that has to do with nuclear physics. So.
Have you seen Oppenheimer?
Yeah, that's what I called him the other day. Anyway, Yeah, so it's been a week here for me. It's been a week for the world as well. I'm sure you guys are also going through shit, so.
It's a calm time in Washington, D.C., let me tell you. Oh, nothing Jesus is Christ happening here. There's no rioting. Yeah, I totally didn't get told to stay home from work a day this week because of the protests. That didn't happen.
Is that where they all were? Was it last night that people were going crazy outside? Is it DNC in D.C.?
Yes, it's in D.C.
Yeah.
And then what, earlier this week, there was the pro-Israel march,
yeah,
which had some like bad characters there as well.
Because there was like counters at the, like, so we had a an expert in, they call them First Amendment protests here.
Okay.
Like he like came and told us at work what we're supposed to do in these cases. And one of the things was like, you know, just pay attention to what's going on and don't come into the office if stuff's too much is happening. So that's what I did. I stayed home.
Good.
Yeah, good. I mean, if work gives you an excuse to stay home, you stay home.
Yeah.
I immediately called my work and was like, I can't come in. My daughter has COVID, so...
That is a good, I mean, we're talking everything with video games today. I'm always curious, what is actually the protocol these days? Because I know some places are like, oh, if it's somebody you know, as long as you don't have it, you can come in, just wear a mask.
It's pretty loose. It's pretty much, you know, do what you think is right, I guess, right?
It's like do what you think is right, but you still have to work. Like, yeah,
we still have a hotline. So, like, I had to call into that, and they were like, I was like, my daughter is, I mean, she lives here. She's like, oh, are you able to isolate from her? I'm like, we've locked her in her room. She's not allowed out. They were like, all right, well, you're out for the next
every
5 days.
We normally just lock her away.
Yeah, we lock the 20-year-old away every day. You can't come out unless you're going to work, which is where she got it from, because she's a nurse's aide.
Oh, yes. Hospitals have really, yeah, just a germ magnet.
Yeah. I have not called them back on the hotline. Be like, yeah, my wife and my other daughter have it as well now. What do I do?
I think they'd be like, 5 days.
Be like, can you isolate from them? It's like half of my household now has it. Like, I'll just hang out in the basement, I guess.
With all the video games.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, I have my games, have my work laptop down here. Tony's avoiding protests, like, you know.
Yeah.
We can do stuff.
If we're all talking about fun things at work and life, you know, we just got the great news that the city is slashing our budget by 5% in the winter and maybe an additional 5% in the spring. So I think that amounts to, I think our CEO said something like $6.5 million that we have to come up with now. So, yeah, it's an exciting time to be a public servant.
That sounds terrible, Earl. I am sorry.
How much do you get for selling one police plaza?
I mean, we can't. I actually,
that'd be pretty valuable property.
I was going to say, I did not look into how much he got from the police. But yeah, we were just like, oh, I can't even say, I don't even think it's public knowledge yet. So, but yeah, we got news today. I mean, that I'm sure the budget is public knowledge, but there was the fallout from our end, I think, will become public knowledge soon. And I'm sure people are going to love it. So,
I'm sure they raised the police budget. So, you know.
Yeah.
How that always works. Jeff, did they cut your shit going on your end? Like,
no, it doesn't affect us.
Video games.
Yes, there are video
games. Escape.
There's not much in the way of... well, I guess there is, because they announced the Keeleys. The nominees. We didn't talk about that last week, did we?
I think they just announced it, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it was Tuesday.
It's Monday or Tuesday, one of those days.
Yeah. So yeah, we knew what was happening. There's a lot of nominees here. I'm not going to go through them all because it seems absurd. But Game of the Year, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and Tears of the Kingdom.
I would say I was surprised that Wonder got in over Starfield. I was surprised that Starfield didn't really get much of anything.
Yeah, I think it hit Best RPG, maybe. I think it got nominated there. Yeah, Best RPG, Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Lies of P, Sea of Stars, and Starfield. I think that was it for Starfield.
That's a field right there. I like that.
RPGs. Pretty strong.
But I am not surprised it didn't get into the Game of the Year category, just because, I don't know, it's a good Bethesda game, but I didn't feel like it was anything new. I don't know. I liked it, but...
I mean, that's fair. In my head, I guess it was just like... I think we've had this discussion before. Like, that just, at the start of the year, I feel like that was one of those easy, like, this is going to be like a Game of the Year contender. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, before it came out, for yeah. sure. It was like this big looming game, especially for the Xbox. I don't know, in hindsight, having played both of them, I'm not surprised Wonder got in there at all. I think Wonder is...
I was surprised.
Fantastic.
Not because I don't think it's a fantastic game. I feel like that's not the type of game that tends to be recognized at Game of the Year time.
Yeah, like, I'm still seeing people going, oh, but it's just a 2D Mario game. And like, sure,
that's the thing. If it were Odyssey, you wouldn't be surprised.
And that's completely fair. But I think that is also part of it. I feel like the industry as a whole celebrates 3D games a lot more than it does 2D games.
I think it just speaks to the level of quality. Again, for me, if it were standard, if it were just like new Super Mario Brothers again, I don't think it would be in there. You know?
I don't disagree with you. And again, I don't think I've been on this show to actually discuss it. But yeah, I've really enjoyed the game. Again, I was just like, it's just like, traditionally, how many 2D games can you think of that have been, not even one, but have been nominated for Game of the Year in the past like decade?
It's probably very slim. Nothing is popping off the top of my head. I'm sure there was something, but
3D yeah. games just, you know, they have that extra D.
Stuff like what's the good 2D Xbox game? That's like a
Ori.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, Ori, I would say Cuphead, I don't think it was the Game of the Year contender, but that was up there. Like, I don't know, my brain, the first thing that kind of went to mind is like something like Super Meat Boy. I think it was really popular when that dropped as a big Game of the Year contender. But again, Super Meat Boy is, I think, well over a decade old at this point. So, but like, yeah, it's not like I'm sure we can much easier name 3D open world games that have been nominated for Game of the Year or 3D narrative based games than we can 2D games.
Hearthstone, which isn't really, it's not a 2D or 3D, it's a card game that was nominated in 2014.
For the
Super Mario Maker was nominated in 2015.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. Not again, good game, it's just
Inside was 2016. So it seems like they try to fit one in,
one in that never wins.
And then Mario won't win either. I don't think it deserves. Well, not that it doesn't deserve to, but
I think it'll win. Having played these games,
it's both the Gates to lose. I think Tears of the Kingdom would have had it in any other year, but
Animal Crossing is 3D, right? Hades was nominated in, 2020. Metroid Dread. Is that 2D?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2021. Yeah, it seems like they try to get one 2D game in if they can.
Yeah.
There wasn't one last year, and there wasn't one in 2018. But otherwise, it seems like they try to get at least one in. So, yeah, I mean, Mario Wonder is great. Best game direction? I'm not sure. I don't ever really know what this means, but nominated Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Spider-Man, Mario, and Tears of the Kingdom again. So that was everything except for Resident Evil 4, which is weird.
Yeah, the weird one for me in the Game of the Year category is Resident Evil 4. I get it's good, and I get it. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a year this stacked. Why even bother to put that in there? Like, yeah, it's an awesome remake. It's an awesome remake. You didn't need that. You could just left it off. Like, do they have a certain quota they have to meet? Like, in terms of how many games are on the list? Like,
probably. I mean, I assume that's. But again, I mean, to your point, I think you. I mean, again, Starfield, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Stars, Diablo, Final Fantasy 16. There's Lines a lot of games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games that could have fit in that were new to this year. Yes, I get that. I think we've had this discussion before, which is why we have a separate category for that, because yes, a great game remade can still be a great game, but does it necessarily need to be acknowledged again that it's a great game when it was a great game 20 years ago?
Yeah, and you know, I give it credit for, like, it did a lot of, like, new things and blah blah blah, but yeah, again, it stands zero chance, so why even bother? Like, it'd be funny as hell though if that won Resident Evil 4 Game of the Year.
Weirdly, you know, no Diablo 4 on that list either on Game of the Year, but Best Action Adventure, Best RPG. It was only nominated, I think, for Best Multiplayer.
Really?
There might be some. it might be in like another smaller category, but it's.
Surprise me because people seemed like they didn't like it, even though I loved it quite a bit. Like,
people turned on it.
I think
hard,
people turned on a lot of games this year.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of feel like it didn't offer a ton of people who aren't really into Diablo to begin with, and then it seemed like the people who are super into it, the end game wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's the part that, like, for me, and I wouldn't consider myself super into Diablo. Like, I like it a lot, but for me, it's when I got past the campaign, which most people would not even call end game. They would call that, like, mid game or whatever. Like, but anyways, once I got past the campaign, I just felt like it lost steam. Like, there's fun stuff to do, but it's just like, dude, you're giving me garbage for doing it. And so it's like that sense of progression that you want out of a game like that, where you're like, oh, I'm getting new fucking weapons and they're better and better and better. Like, it's just all just garbage. So you're like, well, why do I keep playing this? Like, I'm not getting anywhere. And so, like, I fell off. I was playing for like a decent amount after the campaign, but like, it's just some point, like, you know, and then people were salty about all sorts of, you know, microtransactions or whatever. But I still think it's a really solid game that I think people are, like, selling short. But
I didn't feel the microtransactions did anything. Like, it didn't give you any boost.
It was honestly, I would have never noticed it was even there. It's just people, like, if they see that, that's, like, something to bitch about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like microtransactions have just become a boogeyman.
It wasn't like there was better loot, like, hidden behind that or something, because then, yeah, I would be like, yeah, this is fucking bullshit.
Right, it was just cosmetics, right? Like, you just get, like, a transmog to, like, make your shit look cool, and it was expensive, but also you didn't have to do it.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I thought this one was neat. I feel I know what's going to win here, but best adaptation, Castlevania Nocturne. Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no. List the nominees, and then I'll say my point. Yeah,
Castlevania Nocturne, Gran Turismo, The Last of Us, Super Mario Brothers Movie, and Twisted Metal.
Yeah, so I was going to say, like, I think, I mean, I assume we're on the same page. I think it's going to be The Last of Us. Yeah. But I actually saw the nominees, and I'm like, I can kind of see them giving it to Mario because, like, the odds of, like, getting, like, a Jet Black on stage or Anita Joya, like, a video message from Chris Pratt seems like something that Kiryu wouldn't pass up. And also to recognize, like, he, you know, he's also one of the types to recognize, like, it is going to be the second highest grossing movie of the year. It's going to be, what, one of the 50 highest grossing movies of all time. I can see that being something that they want to celebrate and acknowledge because it's like, yeah, video games are doing their thing. I agree. I think The Last of Us is a better product, but I could see them giving it because of Mario's commercial success.
That's not a bad argument. I could see that for sure. I thought that industry people voted on it, but I could be wrong.
I mean, they might, but I thought they voted on nominees.
They vote on the nominees.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? Kiwi just picks the winners for himself or something. It'd be so funny if that's what it is.
They give him a list of shit and he's like, ah, fine. Yes, Mario, because I can make this work as a we can get some sponsors out of this shit. Tony, there's a category for you.
Yeah. Best Tony of the year. That's me.
Best Tony of the year. Advance Wars 1 and 2, Reboot Camp, City Skylines 2, Company of Heroes 3, Fire Emblem Engage, and Pikmin 4.
I mean, it's a list of games. One of them is, like, City Skylines 2 is a weird nominee because that game is not finished.
Yeah.
Like, there's a remake. There are like strategy games that are out that are actually good that they could have put on this list. I don't really understand it. Whereas Jagged Alliance 3, like, I get it's not like.
Maybe I do wonder, right? So if it's industry folks voting for this,
yeah,
and it's like, I mean, not that there aren't industry folks that play strategy games, but it is like probably smaller, unless like a game like XCOM hits or something like that.
Yeah.
These might be the games that they know.
Yeah, I mean, even like Company of Heroes 3, like, I like Company of Heroes 3. I enjoyed it. It's not a great game. It's just that I liked playing it. And it's just weird to see that on the list. Like, if that was strategy game of the year, it'd be very strange. Because that game was also, like, the multiplayer has been broken. There have been lots of complaints about it. Graphical issue. Like, it's just, it's not... I don't know. It's a weird list to me. Very weird.
Nintendo dominating the strategy.
I mean, it's very possible that I hate saying this in Jeff's presence. It's very possible that Pikmin 4 is the best strategy game that came out this year. Because it has been sort of a weak year for strategy games.
Yeah, but, Tony.
I like it. I've gone back playing it a little bit. It's fun.
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
You guys should play it a lot.
I've been playing a different strategy game, though, that I think is better, but we'll talk about it later tonight.
Okay.
sorry, Jeff.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Pikmin 4 likely will be shelved again as of tomorrow when my copy of Super Mario RPG shows up. But
Pikmin 4 is so much better than that.
If it makes you feel any better, my son has been playing it obsessively. Like, he adores it. He made me go out and buy, like, all these Pikmin plushies. Like, we got, like, Pikmin all over the place now.
That makes me happy to hear that, like, it's not just me. That, like, thinks it's really good. Like, it sounds like this one is done really well.
Yeah. So. Now, the reason I haven't really gotten into it is because he won't, like, stop playing it. So.
But they are, they're December 7th. The Keelys, so
great. Pearl Harbor Day, great.
And I guess bouncing off of that is that Baldur's Gate 3, they're going to announce on the 7th when that game is hitting Xbox, and they're
probably December 8th.
Yeah,
probably that day.
Or that the right after that announcement, there's a growing growing feeling amongst some reporters that it may be a Game Pass game.
Well, I would start over again if it were a Game Pass game. I would play that on Xbox.
There's only one game officially confirmed for December for Game Pass.
Oh.
And normally they give an announcement on like what, you know, these are the Game Pass games coming next month, and they haven't done that yet. So there's a lot of, you know, speculation that it could possibly be revealed at the Game Awards and then just dropped as it'll be on Game Pass tomorrow or that night. Should be really neat. Either way, I think it'd be nice for it to finally be everywhere. We'll get to that in a little bit, though, because Jeff's been playing that as well. So
yeah,
it's also a physical deluxe edition coming, evidently, next year. I don't know. I don't need any of the shit in it. So, let's see what else we got here. Somebody from BioWare, been there for a while. He was at one point a lead at Mass Effect. He has gone and opened a new studio with the intention of, making games that Jeff won't like.
So games.
Games that I might like?
Not saying that Jeff won't like them, but he has said that his idea behind it is that he is going to make narrative focused games.
Maybe games that Jeff will like.
Right. I mean, Jeff
he's
is
making
playing
the new Telltale. That's narrative focused.
Yeah. And Jeff's playing Baldur's Gate 3 right now. He seems to like that. Sure. So it's just games like Spider-Man that he's not a fan of, right? I think that's it for that's all I really see here for news.
We also had a bunch of firings this week, which is always depressing. But there was also is this the week Nintendo did the Indie World? The big star of that was, I think, Outer Wild. I always forget which one is coming in December. I always forget which is which. And we also had
Outer Wild. So it's not the Obsidian.
Yeah, it's not
game.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of rough, but I don't know what the actual game looks like. So, we also had the reveal of Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. They showed off like not 20 minutes of gameplay, but they showed like the intro of the game, how they get their traversal, some of the costumes, pre-order bonuses, and all that stuff this week as well. I will say that I am completely biased. The game looks fine. I will still buy it. I actually do like the traversal mechanics now, but I was surprised, not surprised at the game. I was surprised at people's reaction to the fact that this game is still a live service game. I don't think that was going to change in a year. I think they would lessen the stuff they would do with it, but I don't think it was going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would involve like years.
That wouldn't be a year. Yeah.
Well, and Warner Brothers still wants that live service money. They're not going to back off of that.
Right.
Who would?
The theoretical live service money that doesn't actually exist anymore.
But I mean, that's the monkey paw of it all. It's like everybody's chasing this thing that really everybody's kind of moved on from. Nobody's
right.
Like, oh man, yeah. Like I mean, we see
Fortnite does not do what it did before. Like Epic is in financial trouble because that model has not worked out well for them over the past year.
Well, I mean, Epic's in the trouble for a couple of reasons. But yes, it's not printing money as it was before. Which is why they had to raise their price of V-Bucks and stuff. So,
still insanely successful. Just like when you're spending money like Epic was, you need to maintain at a certain level. Fortnite is not there anymore and probably will never be back there. Suicide Squad, though, what I saw of it still seems very shooty-shooty. Is that accurate? Yeah.
Yeah, that is still accurate. I don't think they, again, I don't know what they, I honestly don't know what they anticipated changing in the year today. But I think, if nothing else, I think they're doing a better job of marketing it now. Partially because I also forgot it's out in like 3 months, 4 months, whatever February is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks interesting. I think part of it for me, and part of it is I was excited, and I'm like, it kind of sucks that like, this has become a thing where it's like, oh, you get all these fun costumes for pre-orders, and it's like, you know, you get one where you're like, oh, they dress up as like superheroes. Like you have like Harley Quinn, like I think like Superman gear and like Captain Boomerang and the Flash's stuff. And then you have like the OG costumes, which I assume for everybody who's not a comic nerd, it's like Harley Quinn's animated series and then a bunch of like these people are like dweebs because comic book costumes are very, very timey most of the time and does not age after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of these characters. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And I'm like, this should just be stuff in the game, not like, oh, we can piecemeal this out to them.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Walt had one other thing here. Witcher 3 is getting mod tools, so people can add their own quests to the game. That seems neat. I just don't think I'll return to Witcher 3.
Right. I wonder how many people are going to add their own like sexcapade.
Like little sex.
Look,
quests.
Another sex-based sex. Sex-based quest. I can't even speak anymore.
I love sex-based sex.
Sex-based sex. I like my sex to include sex. It's great.
I like to keep it vanilla. I like to keep it, you know, yeah, how you would imagine. Just sex.
It's a...
about sex, baby.
That's just what The Witcher 3 needs, so... Yeah, so what have you guys been playing this this past week?
We played some Halo.
Oh, yeah, we did. On their new Halo 3 playlist in Infinite, which is all it's all Forge maps, I believe, done by the community.
Yeah,
they were
decent. Good maps.
Yeah,
for like community based maps, you're like your expectations are pretty low, and they all seemed like really well balanced and really interesting. Good. Good replications of those Halo 3 maps. Like it was good.
What makes them Halo 3?
So they're like fan made remakes of Halo 3 maps. So like the Pit from Halo 3.
Yeah.
Blackout. Just the platforms.
When you mentioned Isolation, which is not one I think people think of. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what that's what it makes them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Halo 3 Refueled. And there's a bunch of them. And they're decent maps. There's one, I forget what the actual map is called. I always used to call it the Ewok Village in Halo 3 because it's like a tree village type thing. We played on that one. That was neat. I think there's a couple Pit remakes in this. There's a remake of Blackout. I don't think we played on every one.
Was Blackout in 3?
Yes.
I think
Blackout is a remake of a Halo 2 map.
Okay, that's what I was like, Blackout, I know it's a remake of another map. That's why I was like, I forgot if it was in 3. And then Blackout was the remake later on, or if it was because, I remember Blackout. It's with the ones you remember. But yes, I paid way too much of that. I think that would have been right after college. So we were young, dumb, and a ton of time to kill.
So Guardian is the one I used to call Ewok Village. We played on that one. We played on the Narrows map, which is the one with the long bridge. And then there's like the underbridge and the two man cannons on either side. And I guess, and we played on a new map called Dew Point, which is just, it looks like the pit, but it's all green.
The mossy pit.
Yeah, it's kind of set up like that, but it's not exactly. I think we ended up playing we played a little Oddball,
yeah,
and a little bit of Slayer.
Yeah,
we
discovered that we're better at Slayer than Oddball.
Really? Well, no. Okay, Oddball, I think is Oddball or Griffball?
Oddball. So it's one where you hold and
right, and the Oddball is like the football one where like you
have to hold the skull.
Yeah,
as long
yeah.
as you can hold the skull.
Yes. But like, yeah, sometimes if you get another team that's just so well coordinated, like they just know how to like play defense really yeah.
and,
well.
And that's kind of it. There were only three of us, so we had like one random
who does yeah.
what randoms do, and we did win the last game of Oddball that we played. When you
yeah, it was a good match. It was back and forth. Won all three rounds.
Yeah, but Halo is like the one shooter I feel like I can have not played in a long time and pick up and still feel decent at. Like, there's no like learning curve or not even that. Like a there's a feel that you have when you're playing these games. Yeah, like if I picked up Battlefield right now, I'd be trash for like a day or two, and then I'd be good at it again. But Halo, you can pick up and you're like, oh yeah, it's Halo, and be a decent Halo player after a little while. It's weird. I don't know why that is about Halo, but it's just a different feel for the other shooters.
Yeah. I didn't jump in when we played. I hadn't played in a few months. Probably you had probably not played longer than I had.
Yeah. The last time we played like earlier, like January or something.
Yeah. Like jumping in though, it was like, I mean, it feels like Halo, and I'm not doing awful, like, right off the bat. Like, I'm competitive. We're splitting. Might be going, 8-8 or 7-7. But as the matches went on, like, start to improve, and, you're getting more kills than deaths, or you're doing more objectives-based stuff than scoring points that way. Like, I felt good jumping back into it, and yeah, if I jump into like something like Battlefield or Call of Duty, it's like you're putting up like 3-13, like awful matches.
I was gonna say the only thing I would say is in my experience is it depends on the hero as well. So I think 2-3, Reach and ODST can kind of jump in. One's weird because of the weapon balance, and then 4, 5 and Infinite are because then it just starts getting into like, oh wait, which one has the abilities? Which one has like the gear shot? What are the buttons for that? That I sometimes get confused. And then like they started adding sprints and like the charge attack, where like, I think 2-3 ODST and Reach are kind of like just kind of pure shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Infinite's pretty good with that. Like, everyone has a sprint. Like just right off the bat.
Oh yeah, but I meant like just like because again, like you go to the old ones and they don't have it.
Yeah, it's just
like reminding yourself that oh yeah,
nobody's running, nobody's clambering. Yeah,
yeah.
there is. I mean, there's equipment in 3, but it's button press. Same with Infinite. Like you pick up stuff and it's a right button press.
Yeah, but you pick it up. It's not like yeah, but it's even then because I think is it 3 or Reach that does like the shield that you can do like when somebody does the sticky grenade that like, knocks it off of you.
That's Reach with the I don't know what it is. Like you freeze, like you do like Superman pose, like
yes. Which is great. Except when you get out of it and the person's just like I'm still
just waiting there. Yep. It's like you've just frozen yourself and I have another sticky.
Yeah. Oh, it's such great memories with that franchise.
That's a lot of fun. I have it installed again, so we might play more of it if you want to join us for.
I have to check. I feel like I have all of them installed on my Xbox by default because it's kind of like oddly enough, I was getting, the game I compare it to is like, it's like Mario Kart for me. And like, it's not a game that I'm always going to, but it's a game where people are like, oh, you want to, I mean, yeah, let's go. We can play a couple of rounds.
Yeah. It's real fun, real easy to get into. And I thought that the new playlist that they put up, that refueled playlist, was really cool. So, Tony, you play anything else this week?
I spent a lot of time. I finally broke down. I trying to stop myself from buying a new Total War game was probably a mistake to begin with, because I knew I was going to break at some point. And I don't know why I broke this weekend, but I did.
You were almost there. It was almost Black Friday.
I mean, yeah, but it literally just came out, like too recent for it to like be in the Black Friday sales.
Got you.
And the creative is like Sega and Creative Assembly never put these games on sale for a little while anyway. So, fine. I broke down. I got it on Fanatical for whatever it was, 16% off or whatever. So $50. I'm enjoying it. It's a weird Total War game, though. So it's Total War Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's set up in Egyptian times. I want to say like 1200 BC. So it is like chronologically the first Total War game. It's an odd period of time to play a Total War game in, because it predates saddles and stirrups, the things that let you ride a horse in combat. So there's no cavalry, which makes the battles all feel kind of weird and blobby. Like it's infantry and it's archers, and the archers are like ancient archers. There's no longbows, like there's no like tipped arrows. So they don't like they don't have like the penetration that like more modern arrows would have, so they're not as useful. So really you're playing like fighting really big infantry battles, which end up looking like giant blobs. Like you're spending a lot of time like trying to have your guys walk around the other guys and hit them from behind. It's really weird. The battles feel strange, because I'm so used to like playing Total War battles. You know, you have your infantry come up, you have the archers behind, and when the infantry lines engage, you move your cavalry around and you outflank them and you hit them behind with your horses, and then you win. And you can't really do that here because there's no horses and the arrow is stuck. So you're fighting battles, you're trying to get like the best troops that you can, so that they last longer in battle. There's some weird mechanics about that, like now the infantry have like an armor rating. So like as they fight, their armor starts at 100 and it goes down. Mm-hmm. And when the armor rating goes down, then men in your unit start to die because they have armor and it's broken and now they can be killed. So you spend a lot of time fighting these blobby battles. The battles themselves are probably the worst part of the Total War game, which sounds weird, because the campaign is really, really fun. It's set up at a time when the Pharaoh of Egypt is dying, and there's all these successors for the throne. So you're fighting basically in a civil war type situation. But it's also occurring during an event called the Invasion of the Sea Peoples. So like as you're fighting the civil war, these like random guys are coming from across the sea and invading Egypt. And so you have to fight them off at the same time. And there's this really weird like power dynamic thing going on in the civil war where you're all fighting for like to gain legitimacy and fighting over like positions in the court, so you can eventually become pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is to become pharaoh and, you know, take over all of Egypt and win the game. But that wasn't like enough. So they also added like the Hittite lands, which is like modern Turkey. And so there's also like an entire like Hittite component to the campaign where you can go and you can play in the Hittite. You can ignore the Egyptian part totally and just focus on that part over there. Like have a completely different campaign experience in a different area. That also ends up like intertwining with Egypt and having to fight with Egypt, but that isn't necessarily like focused on this whole fight to be Pharaoh. It's more like fight to be the king of the Hittites.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. The whole Egypt, like the Nile is super cool. You can spend a lot of time like marching through the desert and watching your troops like die, or you can like stick them on boats and have them like fly up and down the Nile. Like they move so fast when they're moving up and down the river. It's really cool. The actual campaign portion of this game is like probably the best Total War has been in a long time. It's just that the battles are weird. It's just odd. It's odd to me to have a Total War game where the battles aren't the main attraction.
I mean, the game is literally called Total War, so...
Exactly, and you're like, oh, all right, battles are fine. Like, they're historically accurate, and that's, you know, that appeals to a certain person, I suppose. But, yeah, I kind of wish that they were more interesting.
They made them a little more fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's the annoying thing about the blobbiness, it makes the battles take forever. Because you're just like watching this giant mass of humanity fight with one another, and there's not a whole lot for you to do because you can't like move your troops around to outflank because they all end up stuck in this giant blob. Occasionally you could get like units that aren't engaged and you can start moving them around the edge. So that's basically been my tactic. The lines come together and I try to have like one unit of infantry that isn't part of that. I just kind of just move it around to the end and outflank the last unit. But even units that seem to be like outflanked and like totally surrounded tend to last too long in this game. So the battles just tend to take a long time. So I find myself like simming a lot at the battles in the campaign if I know I'm going to win.
Yep. Understandable.
But I am enjoying it. Like the actual campaign is so fun. There's some really cool resource management stuff. You spend a lot of time like developing your territories, trying to find, you know, wood and gold and whatever. There's a lot more. Normally Total War games only have like one currency to manage.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you're like, you're trying to manage your wood, your gold, your stone, your food. And depending on where you are, you can be like really blessed in one element and really short on others. So you end up having to trade with other civilizations to get the stuff that you're short on. And it kind of removes that element of, oh, I need to declare war on everybody immediately and conquer them. Because you're like, I can't do that because I need them. Otherwise, my guys are all going to starve to death. Or I can't build any buildings because I don't have enough stone. That kind of thing. So you kind of have rein yourself in and manage that stuff. So that part is all fun. I love that part. That's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, because I played a lot of Total War.
Yeah. Fair enough. Jeffrey.
Yo.
You have delved into the realm of what are called computer RPGs.
Yeah, finally.
Welcome, Jeff. Welcome.
Yeah.
You're playing Baldur's Gate 3. Tell us your experience playing this classic styled computer role playing game,
aka the game that got me to play my PlayStation 5.
Because you couldn't wait for.
You know what's so funny is like, you know, Tony was talking about breaking down. It's like that's exactly what happened to me because like I know it's got to go on sale, right? Like for Black Friday, it's gotta, right? It's been out a few months.
Maybe? Yeah, came out in August or well September for PlayStation. So
yeah, but I just was like, you know what, just do it, and you might regret this. Because again, we'd gone over this before. It's like not a genre. Like anytime I tried to play a game like this, like I'm like, I don't know. Like I feel like overwhelmed and like flustered, and I just fuck it.
They can be complicated. Yes.
Yeah, and. Actually, like, this one, at first, I felt the same way, especially the first night, like, when it took forever for it to download, because fucking PlayStation. And, so, like, I'm starting playing it at, like, 12:30, I'm buzzed, I'm like,
not the best environment for it.
To learn this, yeah. And to give you an example, like I really like, so like you start off, there's like an intro scene in the game where it's like you're on I think it's a Mind Flayer ship. And
Larian loves their fucking ships to start games. Jesus.
They do. Well, it's a ship that flies through the air though.
That's better than a sea ship, I guess.
And it crashes and you know. But like I couldn't even get past that the first night because for two reasons. One is, so here's an example. So when you want to do something like an action, like in a battle, you press R1 and it brings up a wheel of all the things you could do, right? Which is cool. But I did not realize on the first night that like that wheel is not all you could do. There's like four more wheels to the right of it. And like with like a million more things that you could do. So like I didn't have access to like most of the moves I could do because I did not realize you could like tab over after you bring
they
the
were
wheel
there.
Up. Yeah. So imagine that. But that's just like an example of how like just not knowing the controls and not having your bearings and you know your footing, like how that could be like make this seem so daunting where you're just like, I don't know, I'm just getting my ass kicked and this is all slow, I don't get it. And the other thing is like you're not supposed to fight the first fight because like they literally tell you like
they literally someone, tell you not
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think a Mind Flayer tells you like right, like he's like you run ahead and fucking get to the controls. Like I got this, and I just kept trying to be like I wanted to like learn how to fight in battle. And then I came back the next day and I was like I'm gonna run past this, and then I like pulled up in the. You know, action wheel, and I was like, oh, wait, I can see there's another one over here I could tab over to. So, yeah, there was a lot of that, like, learning curve happening, and I think it's still happening. I don't know if you could ever really fully know everything you could do in something like this, because it's just so much. There's so many potions.
Some of the weird stuff I've seen people do, it's very odd.
Yeah.
Like, things you'd never think of.
But, like, once I got into it, I was totally playing like a type of RPG that I love, like, and Tony might hate me for this, but like the combat, once you understand it, it's kind of like Mario plus Rabbids. Do you just have way more spells? You just have way more.
There's a lot of games like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, there's like once I like wrapped my head around that, I was like super addicted to the combat. And then like, the story stuff, which, you know, typically I don't care about stories in games. And, like, you know, I'm not saying, like, I'm 100 million percent invested in the story here, but, like, I am paying attention more because the story is gameplay in this. Like, it's always feeling like a game, and it always feels like there's, like, you have control of where the story is going, and there's, like, a million outcomes. Like, in a lot of RPGs that are story-based, like, think of, like, the Bethesda ones even. It's like, yeah, you could do this or you could do that. But this game feels like it could go any fucking direction based on what you do, and it's willing to go there. Like, I don't know if Tony would agree with me on that, or, like, it's just, like, I just feel like, oh, I could kill off one of my party members out of nowhere. Yeah. Like,
no, you can do all that stuff. And I think one of the cool things that Larian's done here is they've factored all that stuff in. Like, you could do some weird shit and that stuff gets brought into the story in Act 2 and Act 3, and it all, yeah, like, cascades down. It's super cool the way they've designed it.
That, yeah, so I have not, I don't think I've gotten into Act 2 yet. I've gotten to, like, new regions or whatever, yeah, but it's never said Act 2.
Have you gotten to the Underdark yet? That's Act,
yeah,
2.
I had to backtrack to that. That was like in the opening area. I got there through the Goblin Camp.
Yeah, that's Act 2.
That's Act 2?
Yeah.
That was like in the opening area. Anyway, you know what's weird? I got half of my opening area closed off. I can't. There's like this whole grove area I can't go to anymore.
Yeah. So that's because you're in Act 2. Like, once, yeah, you hit Act 2, that stuff becomes not accessible anymore.
So, but it kind of cut off, like, main missions for me.
Yeah. That kind of sucks, because there's some good stuff in there.
Well, maybe when it hits Game Pass, I'll make a different character.
Right.
But, Yeah, I forgot where I was going, but like, yeah, like just the story shit. Like, it is really cool. Like, how much I haven't seen like how it like goes through the story after that. But just again, it just feels like you're so in control of it that like it makes you invested. Whereas like something like Spider-Man, it's like I'm just like watching a fucking cartoon and pressing a button when it tells me to. And here it's like you're making huge monumental decisions all the time. Sometimes like seemingly randomly, like and out of nowhere, where it's like you don't have to be doing a story thing for something like big to happen or something crazy that you stumble upon. Just really cool. And
I like making the decision and then seeing the dice roll. You're like, oh, you did something.
Oh yeah.
Let's see if it worked. Because like, not only are you just making a decision, but like the path forward hasn't been predetermined based on what decision you've made.
Yeah,
like, it's branches. It's cool. It's so cool.
I love when I choose a dialogue option and it brings up the dice roll. Because again, it brings it back to being a game. There's a thing of chance, like, you know what I mean? It's like, uh-oh, like, what's going to happen here? And, like, could go one way or another. Like, again, of course, you could, like, save a bunch and go back. And, of course, I'm sure everyone does that. But, like, there's things that I will let fly. I'm like, well, whatever way the dice roll goes here, we'll see how it goes, you know?
It could create different encounters, yeah, right? Different way to progress. Like, oh, I was trying to talk my way out of this, but my dice roll went to shit, and now we got to fight all these guys. Or maybe your dice roll goes good, and you can talk your way out of it. Or
it's like we were going back and forth today on that ogre sex encounter.
Yeah, I want to get to that.
Well, go ahead. Then you go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So there's a number of things that like I have happened that I thought were like I wanted to bring up because I just thought they were so funny and unique and just like kind of blew me away. I was like, wow. And that was one of them because I was just walking around because sometimes you don't like necessarily have a mission. Like the mission is just like find a cure and you're like, I don't have any like markers really. It's like I'm just exploring, right? Because the whole game is like you trying to find a cure.
Like a true scientist.
And I'm just wandering, and I see a barn, and I go up to it, and like the doors close, and you hear like it sounds like something's being killed or something, like something bad is happening behind this barn door. And they're like, and then you know you go to like open it, and someone goes, "Don't come in here! Don't come in here!" And I was like, "I'm going in there. Obviously, I want to see what's going on inside this barn." And I walk in, and it's these two ogres about to fuck, and. First off, like, the male ogre is, like, tiny, and the female ogre is, like, gigantic, like, fucking huge. Like, I thought she was, like, some giant beast, and she's on all fours. And they give you some dialogue options here, and one of them is, like, barbarian, like, which is my class. I made a human barbarian. And the dialogue option was to make fun of his puny reeting or rutting. I don't know what they called it, but basically make fun of his tiny penis. And I did that, and he got upset, and then she got up, and she's like, "You just ruined the whole moment. Like, all the passion's gone. Let's get out of here." And like they both like just kind of like skulk away. I'm like, it was just like, it's just so random. It's, it was like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe why I think it's so cool, but it's just like, what the fuck is this?
And it's funny because I ran into this same encounter. I don't remember what I chose, but I ended up in a fight with them. Like, they got so pissed at me, they're like, "We're going to kill you now." And I ended up having to kill them both.
Well, and I've gotten into things, too, where it's like, I thought that, like, so there was, like, a door I was trying to get in somewhere. And I think it was in the Underdark. There's a door I was trying to get in, and there's some like it was locked, and there's some guys standing outside like behind it, like or in front of the door. And I was like, I figured they could let me in. I started talking to them. Nothing seemed to come of that. And so like nothing like triggered it. I just started fucking killing them. I was just like, maybe they got a key on them. I fucking killed these guys for no reason. They had no key on them. But I was just like, the fact that the game lets you do that is amazing, dude. Like, we're just like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. You're telling your story. You know? Another thing I thought was really cool was, you know, you go to camp to, like, rest and refill your, like, hit points and stuff. And wake up in the middle of the night of that, and one of, like, my party members is, like, attacking, another party member. And I was like, what the fuck? And I kind of got to, like, decide what would happen. And I let her kill the other party member because, like, I didn't like this party member. I thought she was fucking annoying as fuck.
Wait, you let them kill Shadow? Was it Shadowheart?
That got killed?
I think it's Shadowheart and the other one. The ogress. She's not an ogress, but the... Drow.
Lazelle.
The green lady. Lazelle, yeah.
I think Shadowheart kill Lazelle. Is that bad?
Is it bad? I don't know if it's bad. I mean, you just don't get Lazelle anymore.
I fucking hated her, man. Like,
yeah, she's annoying.
Like,
she's actually annoying. Not... Although she is the horniest character of the bunch. It's
oh,
so
is she?
Funny.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fucking sexed up with the vampire dude. Like,
he's probably the second horniest.
I don't know if like it's. I think that the scenes come across as hot and horny, but like maybe it's just he's just interested in my blood. I don't know. But again, that's the fun of this. Like, I can't believe the amount of freedom that you have to kind of shape where it's going. Like, I really do think that invests me more in what's happening with the story. And again, like, I think the combat is, like, super fun. Like, I'm totally into it. Like, I'm so happy that I, like, took the leap and like, committed to, like, learning how to play it and stuff. Because it is one of those games, if it was just on Game Pass and it was the type of game, you know, I'm not familiar with, I might have just... In the first hour, I've been like, I can't figure out what's going on. Who gives a shit?
You've tried games like that, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And you've been like, nah, that's all right. Moved on, so.
Again, though, part of it is that. Part of it is that I committed to it. But other part is, like, this there's a level of polish to this, and... I feel like it is a little more welcoming, you know?
Yeah,
so,
there's like, as opposed to most of these, this is much. I don't want to say much easier, but it's easier. Like, a lot of these games have like a really punishing difficulty level, and if you don't understand the basics of a CRPG, you're totally fucked.
Yeah, and
they also don't play well on console typically.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing is that the controls seem to be so awkward. But this one also was designed like. Larian is now huge. Like, they have they had a bunch of studios work on this project. So it's like probably the most polished CRPG that's ever been made. The work has been put in.
It plays well on console. I can see having a little more precision on a mouse would be like nice when you're just like, I'm not trying to talk to my party member. I'm trying to like loot this chest, but the party member's standing right there. There's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it plays fine. But yeah, I don't know. And it can get difficult. Like, if you wander somewhere where you should not be yet, yeah, you could be pretty overwhelmed and stuff. But I'm at a point right now where I'm like, I still don't know if I should be where I'm at. Like, it's pretty difficult. And then I found, like, it's like, it'll pop up a message like, you're about to continue your adventure. Are you sure you want to keep going? Is that like letting you know you're going into the next act? Or is that like...
No, I think that was a warning. Well, it is sending you into the next act when you do it. But it's also like telling you, you know, maybe you're not high enough level yet.
It was kind of like... Because the first time... All right, so when I entered the mountain pass the first time, it was literally like, you should not be here yet. It was like... You are not leveled. You are under leveled. It was like very blatant about it. Now, I'm back in that area now because I'm more leveled up. I'm struggling a little bit in there, but I feel like I've done everything I could in there. And then I found a path, and it was like, just so you know, if you continue here, you're continuing your adventure. So like, okay, make sure you tie up whatever you want to do. So I was like, okay,
you've reached a point of no return, and are moving on. in the story. You probably won't be able to go back.
You won't be able to go back to the first couple regions. Does that happen to you, Tony, where you can't go back to like regions you've been to?
Oh yeah, totally. You'll get to the next act and it'll automatically fail you on a bunch of quests.
Okay. I didn't go through. There's this room called the Inquisitor's Chamber or whatever, Tony, and there's a secret passage next to it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to go back and see what that was about, so I'm going to try to do that before I move on. But other than that, I don't know what else I have to do in the first two areas, especially since I closed off half of the first area to myself. So it could get a little dicey and hard for me. You're probably going to be
missing some characters because of that, too, because there's a few...
There's a whole like go find this healer Nettie or whatever I can't remember the name that I can't do because I can't get over that way, and I was like, well, that's a whole thing that I can't do now, and I'm like worried now if I go to this third area, I'm like, I'm gonna be so fucking like underleveled for it that I might have to like restart or who knows. But regardless, it's a really good game and I'm happy I gave it a shot and stuck with it.
Question for you. You said you went to the Underdark. Do you go to one of the cities in the Underdark, or is it just like caves and shit?
What would be the city?
There is an empty city in the Underdark. I don't know that there's actual.
There's a dark elf city in the Underdark. Like it's their hometown type thing.
I think it was dark elves. It was like these little orc motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And these mushroom people. There was a cool conflict. There's a cool conflict down there. So you did that? Did you do that thing, Tony?
I did not. I missed most. So that's kind of why I don't want to play through it again, because I know there's a bunch of stuff that I missed.
I would recommend. I would recommend anyone that's like gonna play this game, like really take your time in each area and pretend that's the whole game. Like, don't worry about progressing because like you're gonna miss so much and you're gonna make it harder on yourself. But the Underdark, I got involved in this conflict between like these orc, I forgot what they're called, they're like Drugars or something,
mm-hmm.
and these mushroom people, and of course I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna sign with the mushroom people no matter. Bunch of people are cool, and it was cool. Like there was like, this whole thing I got involved with between them, and then actually at the end, this mushroom guy that I helped was like, "Help me kill all these other people." And I was like, "No, fuck you!" And then I got into a fight with the big mushroom guy, and fucking killed him. So like I ended up killing like everybody in the Underdark, pretty much. Underdark was awesome, and it's all like everything I'm in, like. That's all first act, Tony? Or are you saying that like I was in the second act when
The Underdark is in the second act.
Hmm.
So you're like crossed over.
I think I'm crossing acts. I don't know what I'm doing, but the game rules. It's like really good.
The city is called Menzo Branzen, or the City of Spiders, and it's like filled with the like high ranking dark elves. So like it shows up in a bunch of like a bunch of the novels for Forgotten Realms. It's really cool. If you've heard of Dritz, he's shown up in other Dungeons and Dragons games. That's where he's from. So
there's a possibility that later in the game we go back there, or you know, there's a different part of the Underdark you go to. I don't know, but what you're saying, no, I didn't know that. It was just mushroom people and Drugars.
Got it. All right, you play anything else, Jeff?
Pretty much since I've bought that, like all my free time, like. I come home from work, and as soon as possible, I'm playing that game. It's pretty fucked up.
All right. Earl, you played anything this past week, or you've been away for a little bit, so you played anything at all over the last few weeks you've been away?
Well, I assume you folks have already talked Wanda to death by now.
Maybe not to death, but yeah, we've talked it.
Paid more, or did I talk about Payday 3? I've been doing a lot of
lag. I think you did mention Payday 3, yes.
Darktide?
No.
Okay. What is the actual... I cannot remember the actual title. We'll just go with Darktide. It's like Warhammer something another.
Warhammer 40K?
It's like the Left 4 Dead one.
Yeah, it's like Vermintide, but which is the regular Warhammer one, but you know, or Left 4 Dead or Back 4 Blood. Four player
kind of melee co-op where you're going through not randomly generated, but like, you know, like similar stages, and that sometimes they'll send hordes and special heathens, I wanna say. It's weird that you're like on a holy quest.
Yeah, Warhammer's a bit nutty in that. Like, it's very religious.
Yeah, I was like, it's so weird. Like, they were like, we're going after these heretics. I'm like, wait, are we the bad guys? But yeah. So, like, it is, what is it? It is a very fascinating game because you can shoot, there's guns and stuff. But I think the game encourages you more often than not to be more melee-oriented because there are so few ammo cases and stuff, and it's not like the enemies drop it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cast-based. Each one has certain different powers. It is a strange game to try to explain. Because, like, yeah, it's like there's a story there, but it's kind of exoprimal. And that the story isn't necessarily a consecutive narrative of like beat stage A, get something, stage B. It's like reach level 4, then talk to these people. Reach level 8, then talk to these people. Reach level whatever and talk to these people. So it's very hard to follow the narrative in that regard. But the game itself is kind of really fun. You go around killing hordes of people in very, sometimes gruesome ways. Like my character, and I'm not going to remember the casters, I'm going to be honest with you. My character can charge up and just like blow people's heads up. I'll owe you one person at a time right now. Some of them are easier than others. Like,
wait, you can do that to more than one person at a time?
I hope so. Like, it seems like an ability that you should be able to upgrade to blow a bunch of people's heads at once. Kind of like the End of Kingsman.
That'll be cool.
Yes. But like, it's really cool because it's not like, you know, like sometimes games are limited to like, oh, you can only do it with grunts. I don't think you can do it. You can't do it with boss characters. I have tried to do it with boss characters. But you can do it with like the specials, like the... I hate that Left 4 Dead is kind of, but like, you know, boomers and witches and stuff. Like, I don't think there's witches. I don't think there's a witch equivalent. But like, yeah, there are like, again, they're not zombies. They are people, I think. But like you have like ones that will like bombard you, and like they will jump and explode, and like they'll do goop damage. It's what was I gonna say? I'm all over the place. It's like fighting games, and like you can take damage, and then some of that damage you can heal up. But then there's some that will have like that. This is permanently decreased until you find a complete healing station. So like even if you use healing items, this part of your health won't regain. And that's one of the enemies that will do that type of damage that will, like, it will damage you, but it will also do that damage where it's like, yeah, you kind of screwed it if you find a healing unit. There's people who, like, shoot fire. There's snipers. So, again, it's weird because it's not necessarily a shooter, but, like, the enemies can shoot. But some of them are really dumb because it's like, hey, I have a shotgun. I'm going to get close to you. I'm going to switch to a sword. I'm like, stick to the shotgun. I got a sword. You're going to beat me with that, but whatever. I sometimes the level design can be a bit, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but like sometimes they want you to find specific things, and I find sometimes the game, I mean, it's maybe they're trying to go for realism, doesn't necessarily highlight the stuff you want to find, so it's always like, did we miss it? Are we on the right track? And it's like, oh, it's an optional quest, but it's like you kind of want to do it, and you explore every nook and cranny, you just don't see anything, and it's like, oh, because it's randomly generated, it can be like it spawns on top of something. But again, it's not like it's, you know, a gold going object like a lot of games would do where it's like, oh, I need that. It's like you got to really explore for it. Yeah, and then What was else I was gonna say? It was the other thing that's weird is like as you level up, you unlock stuff. And most games, I think, that usually means like you unlock it. In this game, it means like you've unlocked it to be able to now purchase it. And I thought that was weird. Like, oh, my reward is like I have to give you. I mean, game currency, but I have to give you money. Like, why not just say I unlocked it so I can unlock it and use it instead of like. Yes, you now have the ability to go to the shop and trade up, get this if you want. So yeah, it's fine. It's on Game Pass, so
worth a go being on Game Pass. So
yeah,
the price is right.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Real quick, just because I returned to it for I don't really know why. I played a little bit of Scream Ride. Do you guys remember that game from when the Xbox One? I think it was around launch. Might have been a launch title. It was a roller coaster ride building destruction game.
Okay, I don't remember it, but.
So there's you go in, you start, the campaign is there's three different modes. There's you play as a rider, and that's where you're in the cart on the track of a roller coaster, and you can control the cart, make it go faster, make it go up on, you know, two wheels, use turbo. You're trying to avoid some obstacles they put in your way and complete the track as quick as possible. And they give you a series of those. The tracks get harder and harder. You're trying to do specific things to get points. The second set of it is it's a destruction-based thing. So they give you like a pod, and basically you launch the pod or the cart on the tracks at things to blow them up and make as much destruction as possible, which is kind of fun. So there's like a cool destruction model in there. Your idea there is to get as many points as you can by destroying as much as possible. And then the third section is like an engineering section where you're actually building tracks, and they give you a set of qualifications. Like, you know, it has to be, you have to reach this speed, or you have to keep the nausea under this level. Or have X amount of jumps or whatever. So I don't know what brought me back to it, but I went back and was playing it, and I had only played through maybe the first third of the game. Now played through, I'm up to the last level in all of them. And that game is surprisingly really well done. Like, just really smart levels. The three different approaches to the roller coasters and the destruction is all real neat. It's a really cool little game. I don't know if you can buy it anymore. It's a Microsoft published game, like that came out early in the Xbox One life cycle.
Why can't you buy it anymore? Shouldn't it be available digitally?
You would think so.
What is it?
Scream Ride? You played it, Jeff, because you're showing up on my leaderboard.
I own it on disc. Never got into it, though.
It is. It's available. And it's also on Game Pass. So
free.
Yeah, so it's free. Developed by Frontier Developments. They did a bunch of stuff early on for... they also did Zoo Tycoon. Like, early on in the... Xbox One life cycle. They did
when Disneyland. You could play with Kinect.
Yeah. And that's right. Like, I think this was also a game you could play with Kinect early on. But they've also fixed it so that you don't need the Kinect, because they took the Kinect out of the box at some point. So it's a pretty cool roller coaster game, though. So and it's out there on Game Pass, evidently. I thought they had a kind of shut it down. They've only shut down there was some share stuff, like where you could create levels and share them. That's all gone. But the leaderboards are still up. It's neat. It's a really, really kind of neat roller coaster game. Also played some more Forza Motorsport. And that game is a really good sim racer, but it is a tiring game. There is no variety in the events. It is track racing all day. I think they messed up, because in Forza 3 and 4, they used to have like these like goofy little events, like, you know, you would do car bowling or something, or, you know, find out like how many cars can you pass in one lap or in two laps, and you're trying to reach a certain goal. And now it's just straight racing. And that kind of makes it feels a little tedious, especially after the amount of time I've already put into the game. And it just feels weird that they didn't include anything additional, any other sorts of events. Because it's not going to entice anybody that doesn't want to just play track racing. And even if you want to play track racing, Forza Horizon has track racing, and it also has a lot of the customization you can do from Motorsport, but it also has like dumb shit, like the danger signs, or, you know, the speed traps, because it's open world. There's just like a bunch of other stuff you can do in Horizon that just makes it so much of a better game. So I've found myself playing more Horizon 5 than Motorsport. But,
like you're currently playing more for Horizon
5? Yeah,
like
I played a bunch of Horizon 5 over the weekend. And then I've been like putting Motorsport in and like doing a race or two here, but it's like I would rather just be like driving around. And, you know, they keep adding stuff into Horizon 5. They just added like a whole Day of the Dead thing at the end of October, for, you know, because it was November 1st, I believe, is when that was. So there's just so much more fun content in Horizon, and Motorsport is like, here's a new series for you to do.
Yeah.
And it's five more races with, like, it's a really cool car that you're going to drive, but it's just five more track races. There's no more variety to it.
I almost want to say they should just focus their efforts on Horizon, but, like, I know there's those purists out there that just want to play, like, real racing, like, real tracks. And
yeah, and I think there's a place for it, but add something else in, give us a little bit of goofiness, right? Like,
yeah, like, you were talking about it. Like, I was thinking of how like Tiger Woods back in the day would have like night golf and like goofy, you know, disc golf and just fun little like mini games that were actually like fun enough that you would keep returning to, like as something that you would play with friends and stuff.
Exactly. And like, it's the game thinks it's like, it's so far up its own ass with the car stuff. That's like, we're a serious car racer. And it's like, you still need to be a game though. And
yeah,
like casual fans are not going to stick around to play a ton of this. Because, like, yeah, it's really cool. The models that you have are really awesome. I do a lot of my racing from inside the car. So, like, they've modeled the inside super well. But at some point, like, you have to have fun with it. And it just becomes tedious. So you're like, all right, I'll do one race. But I'm not going to spend, like, I jump into Horizon. It's like, I'm going to do a race. And you're like, I could do another one, or I could just do this like weird challenge they've set up where it's go knock over 100 cactus, like, and then you just find yourself like chaining through different challenges
because you'll find something else after
exactly.
That, yeah.
And like in this, it's like, I guess I got another track race to do, and then you shut it off instead. And like, I think casual fans are gonna shut Motorsport off. which is it's a shame because like the driving is the best it's ever been, but you need something more than just the individual track racing going there. All right, final thing. I played a bunch more Alan Wake 2. A bunch more than I had played last week. I'm about four more chapters in than where I was last week. A game continues to impress me. I have now... So last week, I had control of Saga, who is the FBI agent that's investigating like a murder out in the Pacific Northwest, Bright Falls, which is where... you know, Alan Wake 1 took place. Some crazy shit goes down. Like, it's funny the way that the two FBI agents talk about it because they realize that they are in a fucking like nightmare at this point.
Episode, yeah.
Basically, like they're like, I think at one point, Saga like says she tells her partner, she's like, well, that information is like really useful. And maybe next time you don't withhold it from me before we find ourselves in a fucking horror story. But now Alan has shown up, and you're interrogating him, but you're playing through he's giving his explanation of things that have happened, which is all sorts of fucked up. But so you're playing through his side, and he can change reality. But you find clues and stuff, and in certain areas, you can then go and change the story. So it's you have a tunnel, and in that tunnel, you can put the missing FBI agent. And if you do that, you know, you might get a little bit of dialogue, or you might get an item or something that shows up. But if you put the cult in there, it may open up an area that you can progress further in. So you're trying to find the clues throughout the area you're in to, and then apply them to your story in the areas. So you're opening up maps or getting new items. You don't need to do them all. Like there is a right solution to progress forward, but doing different combinations of things gives you different things, gives you different dialogue, gives you a better understanding of what's going on. It's really, really neat. All of his stuff is played from like as if he's writing it. So he like will give voiceover as Alan's doing things. It's really cool. There's more combat on the Alan side of things than there has been on the Saga side. And it's if you played Alan Wake 1, it's, you know, you get the flashlight, you have to put the flashlight on the enemy to get rid of the darkness, and then it'll open up a weakness for you to be able to shoot them with one of your weapons. I feel that the shooting in this is much better than it was 13 years ago. Which makes sense. I mean, they've made multiple games since then. Control, I thought the combat was really good in that, so they've improved. This game, it's also a survival horror game through and through. Like you're managing your batteries so that you can fight the shadows. You're managing your ammo, your health stuff. You have a limited inventory on like how much you can carry. And they're doing a great job of just throwing in jump scares. And the other thing I think is really neat is that it's very cinematic in its approach. Like you'll do something and it'll just seamlessly move into a cutscene and then seamlessly move out of it. It's like it will take control away from you as it kind of gives you some exposition or as it shows something happening. But then it'll kind of just seamlessly drive you back in, and it may drive you right back into like a boss fight or some sort of combat, but you always feel in control even when they take you out of it. It's a super well done game. I'm really, really enjoying it at this point. So, and it's perfectly kind of paced for you to play through it in like small chunks because they're kind of done like TV episodes. where you get, I mean, it's all episodic, but each one like gives you a good, like there's a good start point and a good end point, and they all take about, you know, anywhere between 40 minutes to a little bit over an hour. So really, really cool at this point. I think that is it for us. We'll be back next week. Episode will be earlier because it's, you know, we're not recording on Thanksgiving.
Are we?
Cowards. Let's ditch our families. They don't matter, do they?
That's sure. Why not? I mean, my family is just, they've abandoned me. They've all gotten COVID upstairs.
You're in the basement anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I assume that we're all doing something for Thanksgiving. So recording on Thanksgiving doesn't make sense. So we'll record before Thanksgiving. Let's look at it as, we'll take a look at the sales, the Black Friday sales, and maybe kind of start on our view of what's coming up on the end of the year. We'll see how that goes, but I don't know, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, depending upon where you guys are available, we'll record. But
right,
we will be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.